The Boston Celtics close things out the right way in Miami. Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward get the job done. This is your Wednesday Locked On Celtics podcast. Millies, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my Seas jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the Seas, that's the best way. Millie.
We're back after a day off for obvious reasons with nothing going on. On Monday, there wasn't really going to be a Tuesday podcast because there was nothing really to talk about. Everything that's been said, everything that's needed to be said, I think has been said. So we're going to leave it at that. We're going to talk about basketball now because it's time to play basketball. That's what we're going to do. I'm John Corrales of MassLive.com here in Miami, Florida. Don't hate me because I'm coming home anyway. By the time you listen to this, I'll be back in the cold. So, Celtics 109-101 win over the Miami Heat. A gritty win, a good win, I think. It's a good win. Without Jason Tatum, Javonte Green also out, but Tatum obviously is the big one. Celtics hold off the Miami Heat. So here's how I'm going to do this. I'm going to see if I can structure post-game a little bit better. So first segment, game flow. Second segment, players of the game. And third segment, random thoughts. We'll see how this works. So game flow. Boston Celtics come out like right away, hot, cooking. The first quarter, they finished the quarter 36-28, but they were out to a big start, mostly because of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who in the second segment, talk about players of the game, 11 points, each of them hit four field goals. Jaylen Brown was cooking from three. They combined for 22 points in the first quarter. They did a fantastic job early on, but they also gave up a little bit of a run to the Miami Heat. Okay, fine, that's going to happen. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo did the Celtics in the first quarter. But the Celtics in the second quarter, not so great. And the Miami Heat went to a zone in the second quarter, and things slowed down tremendously. After putting up 36 points in the first quarter, and both teams combining for 64 points in the first quarter, they combined for 37 in a 20-17 Heat second quarter. He really turned it on with a zone defense, which was interesting because it was more of a 1-3-1 than a 2-3. They put their athletic guys more at the top rather than at the bottom of the zone. They really changed up how they play it. The Miami Heat all year long have been kind of innovating with zone defense. And just as an aside, zone defenses have been frowned upon so much in the NBA, but here they are back, and it's such an interesting reaction to the three-point barrage that teams have gone on. They have now cut off attacking lanes. They're forcing teams to try to shoot over the top of zones, but there's a lot of contesting going on. There's not a lot of driving and kicking, so it is, to me, a very fascinating reaction because what needs to happen when you're breaking a zone? You have to get a guy in the middle of the zone. Now, in the second quarter, the Celtics did not do that, and they turned the ball over four times. It only led to 4 points, but still four turnovers. They only had four assists, but only six baskets. They did not hit a three in the second quarter. The Miami Heat, the Celtics, I would say, held the Heat in check, which is, if you want to say where they won the game, there's two places they won the game. Third quarter when they broke the zone, second quarter when they were holding the Heat defensively. Because if the Celtics sucked offensively, but they also held Miami to 8 of 24 shooting, 2 of 9 from 3, and only gave up 2 free throws. So they also forced 5 turnovers, which they actually had more points off of turnovers in the second quarter than Miami did. So the Celtics defense in the second quarter did a phenomenal job of keeping things close and not letting the Heat get off into onto runs. Want to say credit to Brad Stevens for using his timeouts as kind of like run stoppers a little bit more frequently. That was good. Nice to see. So back to the zone thing in the third quarter, the Boston Celtics kind of started cracking that zone a little bit. They weren't necessarily executing perfectly, but they ended up finishing the quarter pretty well with 27 points on 11 of 22 shooting, 50% from the field, 30% from three, 3 of 10. You know, not horrible. You hit one more, all of a sudden it's an awesome quarter. So that's not a big deal. They did a great job. Again, holding Miami, at least shooting somewhat poorly. Miami did win the quarter by going to the free throw line a bunch more, but they shot 10 of 26. In the third quarter, the Celtics got a guy to the middle of the zone. So picture a zone in a 1-3-1 or a 2-3 or whatever. If you're not familiar with the zone, a 1-3-1 is basically if you look at it from the top, there's a guy at the top, there's three guys across the middle at the free throw line and one guy behind. And you guard zones. That's why it's called a zone defense. You kind of guard whichever guy comes through your area, which is why attacking the gaps of a zone in between the players in a zone, there's a gap. And in those gaps, if you think of it as like a Venn diagram, two zones overlap. You want to get the player into that zone where they overlap because then two guys are going to collapse. Both guys are going to go defend that area of the overlapping zone. So with that said, the Celtics got a guy in the middle of the zone, and that guy was able to score or pass or at least collapse the defense. So all of a sudden, when the ball moved, guys were getting open shots. And back to my fascination with how zone defenses are the reaction. Well, if zone defenses are the reaction to all of the driving and dishing and kicking and all of that stuff to get open threes, especially corner threes, and then how you combat the zone is to get guys in the middle. Well, what do guys in the middle of the zone need to be able to do? They need to be able to hit that shot or take one dribble and dump it off. And so that play, that type of player, what's that? What's that area? It's a mid-range. All of a sudden, the zone might possibly recreate the importance of the mid-range shot because I think the Celtics' best zone busting comes when a guy with the ability to hit that shot is in the middle of the zone. Because if you catch it in the middle of the zone, free throw line, somewhere between the free throw line and the restricted area, and that's going to draw a lot of defense. Well, if you don't draw the defense, if they're slow, then you can hit that shot. That should be an easy shot for players to hit. But if you do draw defenders, then you got to be able to pass. I think Gordon Hayward's the perfect guy to make those plays because that's his zone. Jumpers in that area and then passing, power dribble, going up strong. That creates the need for a mid-range type of player like a Gordon Hayward. It's really interesting. I don't know how this is going to go, and the NBA could legislate it out with some rules changes, but I don't know. I think it's something that should definitely be watched. Okay, so the Celtics in the third quarter, they do a good job in getting into the teeth of the zone. Jaylen Brown continues to be hot. Marcus Smart is having a bad game at this point. The Celtics are still having some defensive lapses. Deion Waiters is doing some things. Duncan Robinson was hitting shots. Every time the Celtics left Duncan Robinson, Brad Stevens lost his shit. But anyway, fourth quarter, Boston Celtics in the fourth quarter kind of regain control, score 29 points in the fourth. They hold Miami to 25 on 39% shooting, which is fantastic. The Celtics, I think the star of the fourth quarter, Grant Williams, I thought did a fantastic job of really playing very good defense and helping with Bam Adebayo, helping on switches. I thought there was a stretch there where Grant Williams was indispensable and the bench was indispensable. I thought they did a very good job in that fourth quarter. And Grant in that fourth quarter was a plus six. I mean, think of that bench, six, Shemi plus five, Wanamaker plus three. In that short stretch, they did a very good job outscoring the Heat and mostly doing it by defense. And then the end of the fourth quarter was Marcus Smart time. Marcus Smart hit just one of the ballsiest threes that I've seen a guy take because at that point he was just shooting, what was he, 2 of 10 from three? Some ridiculous number. Marcus Smart didn't exactly light it up in this game. What was he? He finished the game with 3 of 8 from three. So was it 2 of? So that was 2 of 7 from three, and 1 for 11 overall. I want to say. So he steps up, takes a three, he jumps and tips out an offensive rebound, which I don't know how he willed himself to outjump everybody for that. A couple of free throws to ice the game, but that tip out was really what sealed it. So that's the flow of the game. Going to come back. The stars of the game, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward. Stick around for more Locked On Celtics coming up next.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You could see right away in this game that Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown were going to be the guys to watch. Kemba did not shoot well in this game. I mean, he finished 5 of 19, 3 of 13 from 3. Only 5 free throws for him, 8 assists though, which is nice, but 16 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds for Kemba Walker. Jaylen Brown finished the night 25 points, 4 of 8 from 3, 10 of 16 from the field, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, a nice game generally. A couple of lapses here and there, but I'm not going to burn him too much for those because, I mean, it just some losses of focus. I thought there was one where he saved the ball the ball was going off of him. It was under the Miami basket and he saved it. He jumped out and saved it, but it went like right to Bam Adebayo. And yeah, he got fouled and he only hit one free throw, but that was, I don't know why players do that. It's saving the ball underneath the other team's basket. You're just probably going to give it back to those guys, and especially in that situation, it just felt like a loss of focus. And I think he had a couple of those losses of focus, but you know, not a big deal. He had, like I said, he hit, I think, his first 4 3-point attempts. So that means he missed his last 4, but he was cooking early. 5 turnovers. You know, I think that it feels like it's a little high because I don't recall a ton of turnovers other than I think the one that went through his hands. But Jaylen and Hayward really did a number on Miami. Like I said, they each scored 11 in the first quarter. So a nice beginning of the game to them. They obviously cooled down in the second quarter. But in the third quarter, they were back at it. 10 points for Gordon Hayward, 4 of 5 in that quarter, 2 of 2 from the line. Jaylen, 3 of 5, 1 of 3 from three in the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, Gordon kind of did his damage from the free throw line, hitting 4 of 4 from the line there. He was 8 of 10 from the line in this game, and Jaylen was attacking again. and was 2 of 4 for 5 points there. Marcus Smart was the star of the fourth quarter with 8 points. 2 of 2 from three in the fourth quarter. It's just hilarious that Marcus Smart was 1 of 6 going into the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden he's just got the balls to be like, yeah, I'm still pulling, and he hit clutch shots. But anyway, I thought Jalen Gordon Hayward was very in control of this game. The 29 points, only 2 assists, 9 rebounds, just doing a lot of the things the Celtics have needed without Jason Tatum there. I thought Jaylen Brown, like I said, with the 5 assists, his passing was pretty good. Early on, he had a nice assist to Gordon Hayward on the break, and which I wasn't sure when I was watching that play develop how that was gonna play out. But he hit Hayward with a very nice pass there. And then he got into the lane again and gave a little dump off to Grant. His passing has been much better this season. I got to give credit to Jalen. His finishing around the rim has gotten very good. His passing has gotten good. And this is just something that, as he continues to develop, that's going to be something that is we're looking at. I'm looking at the passing now. The finishing at the rim is going to be there. He's going to continue to get better at that. The ball handling still needs to get a little bit better. But the passing for him and setting guys up, if he can become a guy that hits 5 or 6 assists a game, that's going to be huge, because that just means that he's seeing some things. And if he can start seeing the next level play after that, then he can really unlock a lot of things in his game. Again, Gordon Hayward, I thought, was super aggressive and in control and looking for his own offense. And granted, a lot of his own offense came early and then they reacted. But the Celtics are kind of built to have a player jump out to a big kind of early performance and have teams react to that, and then other guys start to take over. So I thought he really forced. He forced the issue in a good way. We've wanted him to force the issue. We've wanted to see a little bit more Utah Hayward, and we're seeing it. Now, we're seeing it. Here's the question. We're seeing it without Jason Tatum there. And in most circles, people would say, oh, good, he's stepping up without Hayward. Without Tatum, I wonder if people are going to say anything different. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'll just leave it at that. There's no reason for me to go too deep beyond that. I think it's great. And like I said, if the Celtics are going to see any more zone, then I think you're going to need Hayward to be the guy that gets into the middle of that zone. I think he's the perfect guy to break these zones, because him somewhere around the free throw line with defenders behind him, and he can see if you space guys out, depending on the type of zone. Again, they were playing a 1-3-1 through stretches. Once you get into the middle of the lane against a 1-3-1, forget it. It's toast. It's toast. Because there's one guy back there. Against a 2-3, it's a little bit different. Against a 2-3, you gotta play it a little bit differently, but still the concept is still getting to the middle of that lane. And Hayward's the perfect guy to do that. Okay, gonna take a break, gonna come back with more. Just finishing with final thoughts from this game next on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Some random thoughts here to close out the show. I mentioned Brad Stevens calling the timeouts. I thought he did a good job with the timeouts, using them more in a Greg Popovich sort of way. We've seen, like, the thing that stood out against the Spurs is whenever the Celtics got down, whenever the Celtics started to make a run, they would reset. They would call a timeout and they would reset. And I thought that was good that he did that. Now, the Celtics did not run particularly crisp out of timeout plays after that, but the thought was there. I think one thing, as moving on to the next thought, I still see guys, when Brad goes deeper into his bench, and he didn't go very deep into his bench, he only played eight players in this game. So let me just kind of sidetrack a little bit here. Romeo Langford, poor Romeo Langford, was at dinner in Portland, Maine at 4 p.m. Yesterday, well, on Monday, gets a call, hey, you're getting called up, has like an oh shit moment. He's at dinner. He's got to find a way to get home, pack, and get to a 5 o'clock flight in Maine. That's not happening. So he ends up getting an Uber to get himself down to Boston, about an hour and a half away, to catch an 8 o'clock flight to Miami, which gets him in somewhere around midnight or so. And by the time he gets into his hotel room and whatever, gets to sleep, I mean, I'm sure it's like 1 or 2 in the morning. And then there's a 10 o'clock or 10:30 shoot around, and what a whirlwind for him. And then he comes in, he doesn't play. So a DNP for Romeo Langford, who was recalled for depth without Tatum and without Javante Green. And they don't even go to that depth. The only Wanamaker, Grant Williams, and Semi Ojeleye get minutes. But you see that some guys were, they're still not completely sure where they're supposed to be. There was one play where Brad Stevens was waving in the second quarter, waving Semi Ojeleye to get over, get over, get over. He was standing off in the corner, and he wanted Semi to get over like closer to the rim in the dunker spot. And he finally got there, and it ended up being a 3-point play. So I just think that play just was indicative of how the Celtics, when you play a guy like Semi, there's still things that are a little kind of haphazard with these guys. There's still things that are being figured out. Okay, I have to bring up this play that started at about a little more than eight minutes to go in the second quarter. And I have to I have to watch it as I'm podcasting about it, because it starts with Marcus Smart turning the ball over, and then Miami turns the ball sort of back over with Kemba, who tips it, but it goes right to Goran Dragic, who, instead of throwing an alley-oop that I think Bam Adebayo expected, he throws it off of his knees. Okay, so then the Celtics get it back, but they fumble that. Semi Ojeleye goes, like, he starts to dribble, and he was going to throw a pass, and he fumbles that and falls. And so the Heat get it back, and they start to Goran Dragic throws an alley-oop, and they biff that alley-oop. They can't get that done. Derek Jones Jr. misses that, and the ball goes out of bounds. It was about 16 seconds of absolute pure comedy. And had we still had a junk drawer, whoo, baby, you would better believe that was going to be a very featured element. I thought that was just hilarious. Grant Williams took a running hook shot, which did not fall. However, I thought it was great. And I'm sure Tommy Heinsohn thought it was great. And a Grant Williams running hook shot would be something that I hope he can add to his repertoire, because I tell you what, hard to guard a hook shot, and I bet you Tommy agrees. Third quarter, like I said, a weird night for Marcus Smart, where he made some really bad plays, but then he would occasionally just have some really good ones. I thought he played some decent defense. I don't think it was all particularly great defense, but I don't know. Marcus Smart had kind of an off night. Offensively, definitely, for sure, except for the fourth quarter, which is just, again, hilarious. The balls on Marcus Smart to have the game that he had. In the first three quarters of the game, Marcus Smart was 1 of 10 from the field, 1 of 6. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, sure, but 3 points. And then in the fourth quarter, he was 2 of 3, 2 of 2 from 3, 2 free throws, 2 rebounds and assists, and 2, count them, 2 blocked shots. It was also funny to see the Celtics on offense just mercilessly attack Duncan Robinson on switches. Just every chance they get to turn around and get Duncan Robinson on switches. And when he came out and Tyler Hero came in, they were attacking Tyler Hero the same way. And it mostly worked. And they were using Gordon Hayward to do it a lot. And when they finally, when that magic ran out, they just went to Kemba to do it. So those are my thoughts for the game. Again, gritty win for the Celtics, I thought, for everything that they have been dealing with, the way they've been playing, to put forth a defensive effort, especially when they needed it in the second and the fourth quarters to hold off the Heat. I thought they did a good job. Granted, Miami was on the second night of a back-to-back, so it was a home back-to-back, but a back-to-back nonetheless. And so a little bit of this is to be expected. Celtics, though, did not have Jason Tatum, which certainly hurt them. And so if the situation, they didn't have Enes Kanter, which depending on your beliefs of Enes Kanter, hurts or helps. But I think there were surely certain circumstances here where they could have used him. No Javonte Green. I mean, Javonte has been useful lately as well. So Celtics were shorthanded. And so I thought this was just a good win on the road, closing out the road trip. Now comes the trap game. That's the next part, because next up is the Golden State Warriors. And that first game home from that road trip, I know it's not a West Coast trip, but first game home after going to 3 different cities, switching time zones, all of that. Also going to New Orleans and Miami, having a little bit of fun there, having this day off, and then taking on the Warriors on Thursday night is going to be a challenge. They're the Warriors, so the Celtics should be able to get past them, but don't be surprised if that's a less than pretty game. So hopefully they do well. That's the show. We'll figure something out for the rest of the week. We'll try to get some guests on to close this thing out. And then obviously post-game after the Thursday night game against the Golden State Warriors. So thanks everybody for listening. Thanks everybody for sticking through a weird week, a horrible week, and back to basketball. So subscribe if you're a new listener, you regular listeners. Keep on giving those 5-star ratings and those good written reviews. I see them coming in. They're very helpful. Shouts to everybody who's doing them. Shouts to everybody that I get to see on the road. Especially love meeting Celtics fans on the road, because you guys are the best and you travel well. So thanks to everybody, and share the podcast. Tell everybody, listen to Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.